Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood on the Eshcast.
On Tuesday, the J-pop and alternative hotspot hits your eardrums on No Borders, No Race.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, with the live issues program's post-episode recaps on live right after your favorite shows and taking all of your questions.
It's going down each week, only in the land of Ash. Nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and All Mystery Inc. proudly present No Borders, No Race, the world.
You are my bastards and wenches, and welcome to a special episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your king, baby, Doc Evan Borgo. This is the best and worst of anime in 2015. And as always, I've got a couple of my good buddies here and somebody new around our kotatsu. First and foremost, our friends Andrew and Jonathan Fleming from Wicked Anime.
Woo-woo!
Hello, anime.
Yes, anime. And lastly, some new blood to the land of Esh, one of the founders of Nerd Crave, which you can find on nerdcrave.com, Mr. Louis Hendricks.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Going pretty good. So,
thanks for having me.
Yes, anytime. So you're new to the land of Esh, so I figured this would be a great opportunity for our listeners to get to know you a little bit better. So tell us, what is Nerd Crave?
Perfect. So pretty much like all you guys, I'm a huge fan of everything anime, comic books, video games, and all that. And so basically Nerd Crave is just kind of my outlet, a place where I can really express my opinions and get my word and thoughts out there for the masses, so everyone can, you know, kind of see my reviews, see what's going on, what's coming soon, and pretty much everything like that.
Very cool. So for our listeners, so they can get a bit of an idea of what kind of a critic, what kind of person you are, tell us a little bit about your favorite anime.
My favorite anime of all time?
All time? What do you think, Flemings?
Yes, of course all time.
Yes.
Oh, God. All
it's
time?
It's one of the hardest questions to answer in our realm.
No, it's not.
No, it's
I
not.
I know mine. Let's go, man. Let's go, Louis.
All right. So, this is tough, but I'm going to go ahead and say one of my favorite animes of all time has to be Full Metal Alchemist.
All right.
All right. Good choice.
Yeah. And that's strictly based off character development, the way your story's carried throughout the entire show, you know, from episode one until the end. And especially, of course, the animation. It's absolutely beautiful.
No, I totally agree. That was where I was really starting to get... I was really starting to notice the craftsmanship of Studio Bones, who did the work, the animation work of that.
Yeah.
Yes, excellent choice. So, Louis, won't you tell us a little bit about the other people behind Nerd Crew? Because I know it's not just you. Who else is in your crew?
Well, to be quite honest, I launched everything by myself. I pretty much did a lot of the web development by myself. I had a little bit of help from an external freelancer and stuff like that, but pretty much Nerd Crave was kind of my project. I try to bring a few friends along, and I have a buddy who is also really good friends with Ro, and his name is Nick, and we've been playing video games for God knows how long, and so him and another buddy named Edwin that I have are pretty much Nerd Crave. Like, it's just the three of us. And since we launched at the beginning of the year, it was like January 2nd that we launched the site, I've pretty much written every article except for like two, and I think we have a good amount, maybe like 40 articles up.
Wow, dude,
Yeah.
You're kind of putting me to shame right now.
Well, I mean, I wanted to start really strong, so that way if I need a coast, I have a little bit of, you know, backing there.
No, no, I get you. That's actually a very good idea. All right. So, Louie, thank you again for joining me here on No Borders, No Race for your first time here talking about anime in 2015. And I figured the first question I'd ask before we play the first song is, overall thoughts of anime in 2015, how would you grade it? Ranging from A+ to F-. And let's see. Andrew, why don't you go first?
This season was most certainly at least an A, you know, or at most an A. Because we had so many good shows this season, especially, I'm going to say the summer. Like, around the summer is when we really had, like, this explosion of just, like, everything was good.
Agreed.
Where, and it really started to boost from spring. So, you know, winter started out, it was like, oh, cool, we have a couple shows. Like, I really love JoJo, and we got a cool new harem called Psychono. Like, I really like that. That was our winter. And then, you know, spring came along and it's like, oh, look at Food Wars and look at Danmachi. This is great. And then summer came along and I was ruined because I had to watch everything. And then fall was a nice finish to the season where, you know, they had a bunch of shows that were really fun to watch. Weren't as, maybe not as powerful as the summer, but it was still like a good chunk of change. You know, you had funny things like Attack on Titan junior high,
yep.
One Punch Man was phenomenal, like that that like set off an anime explosion, so yeah, it was good. It was a fantastic season of anime. The quality is definitely getting higher.
No, I couldn't agree more, because for me, I'm giving anime 2015 an A-, because the vast majority of the shows that came out, like you said, you had a very good winter, you had a great spring, then you had a phenomenal summer, and then you had a very good autumn as well. And I felt like the vast majority of the shows I watched, they were highly enjoyable. Even though some of them may not have been perfect, I never felt like I was wasting my time with them.
Yeah.
I just enjoyed myself watching anime this year. And I feel like that this 2015 has become like a turning point in the quality of anime. Like, this is where anime is starting to get good again. Like, great. Like, not to say that anime's never had, like, a bad year or so, but this is when people are really starting to stand up and notice the quality of both writing and the animation that is featured in Japanese animation.
Mm-hmm.
Louie, what about you? How would you grade anime in 2015?
I would definitely give it an A as well. If not an A+, I mean, I'm a huge Shonen guy. So when I saw One Punch Man, I was like, okay, that's it. this is probably one of the most action packed animes I've seen in my life. So yeah, but no, overall, a lot of really good animes are out there. Assassination Classroom. I mean, Overlord. I don't know if you guys saw that, which was really good.
That's not an episode.
Sephiroth of the End. I'm trying to think of what else. Digimon Try, all that stuff. Yeah, I think it was pretty good.
Yeah, and finally, Jonathan.
Well, it's very clear and decisive that it was a very good year, and I too am going to say A-, in the sense that it was all mostly good. I have an endless list of things that I never even thought that I would watch the whole way through. Something even like Tribe Cool Crew, which was Sunrise's children's show this year, and I watched all 50 episodes of it. It was a street dancing show, which I never thought that I would get into, but oh my gosh, it was just so amazing. Wow. The reason why I'm going to give it the A-, too, is because there were also some of the worst shows I've seen. I mean, some that come with, obviously, the year to come, there's obviously going to be some bad stuff, but in particular, there are some that are just like, wow, this is just not good stuff coming out. But again, just the good that came out toppled over everything. So
yeah.
I'm going to say A-, just because there were a couple in there that really, really turned me off. And it was just like, man, dirty otaku's making shows.
Yep. I'm in the same boat. That's why I gave it an A- as well. And I feel like that 2015 is the year where I realized that when most of the shows are going to be coming out on Blu-ray, I'm going to be so broke afterwards.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
There's like, there were too many like shows that deserve a spot in my library. That like, that's how good 2015 is, or 2015 was rather. So all right, so we are gonna jump into the first couple songs, and when we come back, we are gonna talk about the best of anime in 2015. So remember, for our listeners, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these records on cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. And today, we'll be spinning tracks from various anime programming that aired last year, and the first one comes from Wit Studios, The Rolling Girls, and I believe one of you Flemings talked about this on your program when we did the Best of 2015 show.
Yeah, Jonathan freaking loved The Rolling Girls. Like, they're just so good. I wish I didn't have either Funimation or Hulu, so I could only watch the first two episodes. And if it comes out on DVD, I am buying it, based on the first two episodes alone.
Very visually stunning. I will warn you, it does kind of, like, they kind of wrap things up a wee bit too quickly. I feel like it could have should have been like a 24 episode series rather than a 12. But nonetheless, it is a very good show.
Indeed.
So this is the opening theme to it, performed by The Rolling Girls. This is a cover of a classic song by Japanese punk legends, The Blue Hearts. This is Hitoni Yasashiku.
Shooting star. うだけで大事なものを見失ってた。忘れっぽい僕は同じところを立ち止まるように見続けてたよ。シューリングスター無限の彼方へ飛び越える扉を開け。ライドもシューリングスター振り返んな大切なもの外にあるから、探しに行こう。 Fly awayを取られて揺れ惑うけど、君のことを思い描けば前に進めるスペルになるよ。ララランライスララランライ歩き出さなけりゃ、ララランライスララランライ何も見えない。さあここから夜のイブニングスター彩れ夜空の輝きを全部重ねよう。ライドもイブニングスター痛みだって新しい光を生むから、高まる
with Kyokugen Jimer, the opening theme to last year's Yatterman Night, an interesting take on the classic Yatterman series that made you start questioning who were the true heroes and villains of the popular Tatsunoko series. And we are back talking about the absolute best of anime in 2015. Some great new shows, plus some returning favorites. And I figured let's start there. Shows that came back with a vengeance. And Andrew, why don't you talk about your pick for best returning series of 2015?
Best returning series? Well, I have a couple, but okay. JoJo. JoJo is one of my favorite damn shows on the whole planet. So the fact that I got to watch it at the beginning of the this year, or 20 last year, 2015, was awesome. I sat and waited. That was like the one show. I was just like, I can't wait until Stardust Crusaders comes back. Like, they're going to be in Egypt, especially because I've been watching Stardust Crusaders since, you know, the OVA came out in 1997. Mm-hmm. And then they had a OVA that finished it up in 2000. And then, then JoJo's Bizarre Adventure just started all over again, which is great. And now in 2016, we're going to get it again. Like, you know, the fact that they
that JoJo picked up enough popularity to just keep going over and over and over and over again. You know, now we finally get to see part four. Like, that's reaches that has never been touched in the anime realm before. Like, we've actually broken a record now as far as JoJo's Bizarre Adventure goes. Because they've always only... They actually had a movie that came out that was part one and part two.
But it was so badly panned that they never released it on Blu-ray or DVD.
Yeah, and then... And that was also back in, like... I don't know, the early 90s or something like that.
Bad pacing in anime, what?
Yeah, and then and so, you know, we finally got this reboot, and JoJo finally got this huge popularity, and we're even getting the mangas now, so...
Yeah.
So I'm psyched.
So let me ask you, because one of the first things you saw in the Egypt arc was a redoing of one of your favorite scenes that you like to play at the hardcore anime panel. So who did it better, the OVA or this version?
The OVA, the 1997 OVA did it better.
Are we talking about,
I think you're talking about the fish scene, right?
Yeah.
Centerfold?
Yep. No, the water.
No, with the water, the pilot gets his head pulled off
into
the water.
Yes,
but of course that one was censored. It was, so when it comes out on DVD cut, it'll be uncensored. So then we'll be able to get to see what it really looks like. But no, the 1997 one definitely looks better because, I mean, there's nothing like, you know, Jotaro freaking out over the fish coming out of the guy's mouth, you know, and fish! and then of course, I think what I really, really loved is, the Egypt arc part two had my favorite episode ever. And I had to wait even longer. You know, part one came out, I'm like, oh, they're not even going to get to Egypt in this part one. So I had to wait until 2015 to even see my favorite episode of JoJo, which was when they play the poker game.
Yes. That's easily one of the best episodes ever. There's not even a fighting in it.
Yeah.
Anything.
It's just the manliest thing you've ever seen. Yeah.
I want to go to a casino and try what JoJo tries in that episode.
Yeah, where he just like sits there and doesn't even look at his cards. He just says, hit me. Like, yeah, it's just the best.
You don't, there's no hit me in poker.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was my favorite episode, but again, I also think the OVA did that better. But finally getting to see it was just
Yeah, it still worked for the new series for sure.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's my pick.
Okay, Louis, what about you? Best returning series of 2015.
Best returning series. Well, 2015 was a big year for me. You know, as you guys know, I was pretty much in the middle of launching Nerd Crave, so I didn't have a lot of time to watch some of the previous animes that I used to watch. But I definitely kept up with my favorites, which are still going on, which is Naruto and One Piece, yep. Of course.
Yep.
Yeah, I wasn't too impressed with Naruto only because there are so many fillers.
Yes.
Endless amount of fillers.
Yeah, they're still in a filler season right now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So, no spoilers, but it is still a filler season. Like,
wow.
I
don't think you really can spoil for a filler season.
No, that's
because
what I mean.
Because there's nothing to spoil about.
But the thing is like the point that they're at in the story is a spoiler.
Oh,
so gotcha. So yeah, we won't go into that. But yes, yeah. I too am a big Naruto fan, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So what are they waiting for? Like with all these fillers, are they waiting for like the game to catch up? Like I'm not really seeing.
Yeah. Oh no, they're just smashing it. Yeah, I think because Naruto is such a huge moneymaker that I mean they can finish the anime whenever the heck they want. But,
yeah, that's true.
But they need a cash out, you know? They really got to cash out.
Naruto has basically become the Simpsons over there in Japan. They just will not let it die.
Won't.
But you see, the thing is, though, with Naruto is I think now that they've got a new artist, you know, one of Kishimoto's assistants is doing Boruto, now they can let Naruto go because new Naruto content is going to be coming out.
Yeah.
Right.
Which I'm also freaking excited for.
Same here.
I'm super pumped for that as well.
Yeah.
So, for my best returning series, initially, I was going to go with Haikyuu. And this would have been the point where 42 Believer would have squeed. But she's not joining us today.
Now, she would have already beaten you to it. What are you talking about?
Yeah, she would have beaten me to it. But it's not Haikyuu. I'm not choosing Haikyuu for best returning series. Instead, I'm going for the new Lupin the Third series. This has been everything a Lupin the Third show should be. Action-packed, clever, funny, sexy, and visually and oddly stimulating. And I have loved every moment of it. And I like how they changed the whole, like, back scene. It's now all taking place in Italy. And you would think, well, Lupin travels all over the world. How could it be exciting if he just stays in one place? Oh, they find ways, man. They find ways. And I love how much the characters have evolved in here, especially Inspector Zenigata. Zenigata is kind of a badass in this series. Wow. I love it. He's really
that is
cool.
Awesome.
And he's still a little goofy. He's still a little funny. But there are those moments where he, like, turns into Agent Paul Smecker from the Boondock Saints. And he becomes, like, the coolest guy in the room.
Oh, my God.
It's, like, I can't get enough of this. I'm so happy that they brought back Lupin this way. And it's just so good. It is probably, like, the best return of any anime series I've seen. And it teaches a thing or two that Sailor Moon Crystal got wrong, Lupin the Third Part 4 got right. And it's just...
It's a bold statement.
Yes. Well, and it kind of isn't. If you watch Sailor Moon Crystal, you'll see how horrible it really is. But... yeah, for me, best returning series, Lupin the Third, Part 4. Welcome back, Monkey Punch's creation. Now, finally, and, you, Jonathan.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't say haiku, because I'm going to say haiku. I actually saw both seasons this year. I marathoned through it. I finally took the plunge because Sarah, you know, 42, believer, just was... I was tired of her bugging me about it. and she was not wrong in any sense of the word. I don't know what it was with me this year, but I mean, watching something like first a street dancing anime and then volleyball anime, you know, and I also watched Eye Shield this year, a football anime. And it was like, what was it? What was it with me and you know, extreme sports and regular sports this year, you know?
Well, maybe you're preparing for field day at Anime Boston.
I mean, that's true, too. But what's next? I just put the English dub of Free in my queue on Crunchyroll.
Wait!
I know. But Haikyuu is just so far beyond good in the sense that it has some of the best writing that I've ever seen. You know, I mean, how do you make volleyball interesting? Yeah. Well, they did.
Yeah.
And everything feels so authentic when they're on the court. Everything sounds like you're actually there. The character dynamics are some of the most unique I've ever seen. You know, from episode 1 stretching into episode 2 and 3 of the first season was just some of the best writing I've ever seen. And then the beginning of season 2, which came out in 2015, had some of the best animation that I'd ever seen. The dynamic of how the show was structured changed from season 1, which was not a bad thing. It was perfect. It only enhanced the show even more.
Yeah, they upgraded it.
Yeah, it just keeps getting better and better and better.
Even though, like, the majority of season 2 had been them just practicing, it's just some of the most epic practicing you've ever seen showcased in an anime series.
Yeah, well, all you want to do is watch them play volleyball.
Well, yeah, because there's character development.
Yeah, as long as they're playing volleyball, it's fine.
Like, and they continue to develop the characters and progress the story regardless of what they're doing as their own activity. Yeah. You know, like, they could be practicing, but it still progresses the story forward, which is impressive, you know?
I just never thought that I would ever get into any sports anime whatsoever, let alone volleyball. And I highly recommend it for anybody, because I never saw myself watching anything like this, and I love it. It's like one of my favorites.
I guess we'll have to check out Kuroko's Basketball.
Well, considering that we have yet to get anything hockey-related in both anime and manga realm, I guess it was high time that we should start watching some sports anime.
Get on it, Andrew.
I know, I'm getting on it. I want to do a hockey comic.
All right, so... biggest surprise show of the year. What really came out of left field for you? Louis, why don't you go first?
One Punch Man.
Really? You weren't expecting much out of One Punch Man?
Well, I didn't even know One Punch Man existed, because I was so immersed in like this project that I was running. I didn't even know that the manga was out, nothing like that. So when I finally saw it on like my Hulu thing, it says, hey, shows you made like. I'm like, oh, okay. One Punch Man. That sounds interesting. So literally after episode one, I was completely hooked. And after that, of course, I became a fanboy and started looking up all the merch and reading all the manga and everything. So nice. For me personally, the One Punch Man series came out of left field.
I have a question. Do you actually know how One Punch Man started out and everything like that?
I don't.
Like, okay, so the writer of One Punch Man is actually a webcomic artist. And so One Punch Man started out as an independent webcomic, and the art was awful. So, because all he just wanted to be a writer, and he just wanted to tell his story in a visual way, but he couldn't do the art. So, but he did the art anyway, so it was terrible. And so his webcomic got so popular, even with the art the way it was, that somebody else picked it up from him. He's still the writer, but somebody else does the art for him. And then that's where, like, now we get the mainstream manga, and that became so incredibly popular that, wow, we got an anime for it.
Now, the artist for the new One Punch Man one, it's the same guy who does AI Shield 21, correct?
That I don't know.
Is it really?
I think it is. I think it's the same artist who does AI Shield 21.
I didn't know that either, and that's astounding to me.
Let me check that out, because I don't want to leave our audience hanging, making them think, oh, are they going to even check it or anything like that? So let's see.
No, it's okay. We don't fact-check on our show.
Yeah. Yusuke Murata, the artist for AI Shield 21, also does the art for One Punch Man.
Wow. That's amazing. I didn't know that.
There we go.
And the art's amazing. Completely amazing. Yes, and it's actually better than the manga, too.
Yeah. Oh no. It's amazing all around. One Punch Man is great.
Yes. All right. What about you, Jonathan? Biggest surprise show of 2015.
Oh, there's so many for me. Like I've already said, that I never expected that I'd be watching like a street dancing show in Tribe Cool Crew. However, I kind of picked up on probably one of my favorites this entire season, which was Beautiful Bones. And that was a mystery thriller show that was they kind of snuck up on me. I just tried it because I take most of my recommendations from J-List, and Peter Payne, who runs J-List, always recommends his favorite anime of the season, and he made one post about it. I saw it and I tried it, and oh my gosh, it was so surprising. Like, I never thought that I was gonna like the show, but it's essentially, you know, like in America here we have Bones.
Yeah.
And Beautiful Bones is about this girl who's kind of secluded in her mansion, and she puts animal bones back together, and she has this like assistant boy who spends his time at her place, and they go out and they collect bones with one another, and then they usually come across a mystery and they have to solve it, and she uses bone forensics, and all of the stuff in the show is completely true and completely real to science and forensics, and it just develops into these really neat adventures, and the characters are really endearing, really interesting. I really like Beautiful Bones.
Sweet
choice. So for my surprise show of the year, and as someone who's not that big of a fan of, like, really, really fanservice-y shows, this was one that just really got everything right. And I think it's because of the whole twist of the fact that these aren't your average girls. I'm of course talking about Monster Musume, Everyday Life with Monster Girls. I mean, this should have had the word stupid written all over it. And it kind of does, but it's the right kind of stupid.
Yeah, no, I agree. I totally agree. Monster Musume definitely did surprise me. I went in hoping to be disappointed so I could say something really bad about it.
Yeah.
But
I'm in the same boat, too. I was like, I'm just going to watch this and write a review after two episodes talking about how bad it is. Oh, crap. It's actually good. Yep. What?
So. Not just good, but, like, amazing.
but the jokes worked really well. The fan service was nicely silly. Like, it was done so in a way where it was like, oh, it's kind of perverted, but it's still kind of innocent if you look at it in one way, shape, or form. But it was just a joy to watch from start to finish.
Yeah. Monster Girls, so not my fetish, but definitely my show.
same here. And how about you, Andrew? Are you in the same boat as me, or do you have another pick?
So, as much as I would like to say that Monster Musume is my surprise of this season, it's really not. I actually was just like, yeah, I'm watching Musume. Like, the whole time I was really kind of on board with the idea of watching it. My surprise anime this season was just one that I went out on a limb to watch, and I really went in not knowing much about it, was probably Oharu Machine Gun. The description for the show was really vague. It was talking about, you know, survivalist games and whatever, and a girl who, you know, looks like a boy. And I was like, is this going to be Hunger Games? Like, are they going to be like trying to kill each other in a post-apocalyptic future? And then I watched it, and it was about airsoft. And I was like, what? Like, this is cool. Because Jonathan and I like to play paintball. And we have, like, geared out guns and all the equipment, like, all of our own equipment. We really, really love playing in the woods. Like, we're woods ballers to the end. F that speedballing stuff. Those guys can suck it.
Yeah. Keep your balloons to yourself.
Yeah, you can keep your balloons and your hairpin triggers, whatever. So anyway, I was watching this anime about airsoft, and I was like, whoa! Like, this is fun! And then they have, like, this really funny overarching story where the main character is a girl, but she looks like a boy, and everybody thinks she's a boy, and every time somebody talks about it, they get offended, but she never seems to correct them, so everybody goes on thinking that she's a boy, which is really weird, and it creates this whole weird subplot of, like, oh, we don't allow girls onto our team, so it's good that we found you, and she's like, oh, how rude, I am a girl, but she stays on the team. It's really... really interesting. That anime really surprised me because the characters are really bizarre and really quirky, but it not in a moe, goofy anime kind of way, and more of like a realistic, we're kind of having fun in this anime kind of a way.
Yeah.
So, anime about airsoft, Oharu Cross Machine Gun, really nice.
And that's one show that I really hope it gets a second season, because I know they don't really end with any sort of like... conclusion with the anime
it just
series.
Ends. Yeah. It just ends.
So I'm crossing my fingers that they bring that back for a second season, because that was a really fun show.
Yeah, I really enjoyed watching it.
Okay. Now comes the big list. Top 5 anime of 2015.
Oh, good God.
Who wants to go first?
Hang on, let me go through my list and let me mark some stuff off.
All right, do you want me to go first?
Yes, please.
Okay, so I know my number 5 pick, I'm going to be poked fun of for a little bit, but god damn it, I love Himoto Omaru-chan. It was a funny turn-your-brain-off type of show about a lazy girl and her brother who tries to, like, put up with all of her dumb antics. I just don't know what it was about this show, but it always left me smiling every time I watched it. It was goofy, it was stupid, it was kind of charming, but not really, but... I just liked it. It was funny. And I can't wait to get it on Blu-ray when Sentai Filmworks releases it. Yeah. Number 4 on my list, School Live. A show that starts off as like a slice of life comedy, but then suddenly it just punches you right in the face when it's revealed that it's just a survival story, a zombie apocalypse survival story. And it's lighthearted, it's dark, in all the right places, some great characters, and like some twists that you'll never see coming. Like, there are moments where I had to pause the show and walk out of the room because I'm like, screw you, School Live. What?
Nice.
But yeah, School Live, definitely one of the must-watch shows in my book of 2015. Number 3 on my list, Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon? One of the more entertaining fantasy-based shows. Great action, some nice humor, a lot of heart, and a great assortment of characters. Also, boob strings. Boob strings are very important. I've actually just started reading the light novels, by the way, and I've been finding them to be as equally as entertaining as the anime version. So if you really like the anime, do pick up the light novels. They're a lot of fun. So number two on my list, I got to go with Death Parade, one of the most original concepts of the year, where two people play a game of chance to see who lives. But the twist is, they're already dead, and it's really testing what their true selves are truly like. And characters will either be sent to the underworld or be given another life via reincarnation. I love the characters. It played with your emotions really well. And while it ended with some questions left unanswered, the ones that were just enough. And also, best theme song of 2015, in my opinion. And that's just not me saying it. We did a poll, guys. We did a poll, and it beat my number one pick theme song to be the best theme song of 2015.
Yeah, I was wrong. Oh,
wow. I actually forgot to make a note on that I actually had a theme song that I would have put over my theme song. And I'm ashamed of myself for not saying it, because it was one of those things I was like, oh, I have to watch this every single time I watch this show.
All right. Why don't you say it like right when we're talking about your top five? Does that sound okay?
Oh, yeah. No, that's what I'm going to do.
All right, cool. And of course, my number one pick, One Punch Man, the superhero genre done right. Best animation, amazing action sequences, a laugh out loud riot, and put to shame just about every other comic book based series that aired last year. So in layman terms, suck it, Jessica Jones. Saitama's got your number. Not just the best anime of 2015, but the best overall show of 2015.
I can agree with that, absolutely.
All right. Who's next? Who wants to go?
Well, I have a list of five, and the only thing is it has a bunch of honoraries as well.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I'll say my honoraries first. I won't go into detail on them. I'm just going to say what they are. Some honorary mentions from this year of shows that were definitely my favorite. I had to watch them every week they came out. Otherwise, I would have gone insane. Is Actually I Am, you know, the manga is better known as My Monster Secret. It was a really funny harem series, and I you know me, I love harems. They're great. So that one was really good. I really recommend that one. Another harem, which is the Psychonaut series. Psychonaut was really good, which is another series that I would really, really love if they got a season two. That would be another honorary. And then on to my top five. So I would have to say for my top five, number five I'm going to give to... JoJo. I'm going to give JoJo the number five spot of this season, because, you know, I had been watching it all the season before. You know, everybody knows I love JoJo, and, you know, so number five because, hey, we got more JoJo. I had to watch that show every time it came out. I was excited, still excited for part four. Number four on my list is probably going to have to be Ushio and Tora. Ushio and Tora was another really great show. I was super psyched that it got 26 episodes, and I'm super psyched to hear that it's going to be coming back in the spring, because, you know, hey, the story's not over. And especially because this is also a show that came out also in 1997, I believe, with an OVA series, and it never finished. It just ended, and nobody ever found out what happened. So, hooray! So Ushio and Tora is finally getting some love, and maybe it's even going to finish the story. Next up, we have, let's see, number three spot I will give to One Punch Man. All right, we've already talked One Punch Man to death. Everybody knows it's awesome. If you don't know it's awesome, where have you been? Heck, yeah, number three goes to One Punch Man. Number two spot. My number two spot will have to go to Gangsta.
Really?
Oh, heck yeah. Dude, I am, like, so just enthralled with Gangsta that it's not even really the anime series. The anime series did a really, really good job. They did have to cut some things out, but as far as the manga to anime translation, almost nothing was cut out. They kept everything in there, and the story is just, whoa, it knows me. Like, it knows me good.
It knows you good.
Yeah, and so, you know, I finished, I'm caught up on the manga. I just finished volume 6, and volume 7 comes out in July. Volume 6 is volume 5 is where the anime ends, so volume 6 was all new material to me. And holy crap, they should have at least, I know the studio is gone and now there's probably going to be no more anime at all. But if they were going to leave us on a cliffhanger, they should have left us on Volume 6's cliffhanger, because it was so much stronger than Volume 5's cliffhanger.
No, I agree, because that's why I went like, really? Because of the way it ended in the anime version.
Yeah, so heck, Gangsta, if you guys really love the anime, do yourself a favor and you read that manga, because it is probably one of my favorite mangas now. Like, I actually, this is another anime that, you know, Sarah from 42 Anime Reviews is like, you guys have to watch this and or read this. And I did both. And actually, after I finished Volume 6, I sent her a personal text and I was like, thank you. I love you, Sarah, because you introduced me to Gangsta. And like, read Gangsta. Just do it. Do yourself a favor. It's great. And my number one spot goes to Food Wars. Food Wars was the anime this season where it was like, oh, it's Friday, I gotta watch Food Wars. Yes, it was. You know, so the second an episode came out was the second I watched it, because every single episode was great. The characters were, one, cool. Two, cute.
Three, funny.
Three, funny. You know, and the story always progressed. They always had good story progression. An episode never wasted your time. Plus, you always got to see some really, really yummy food porn. So,
number four, it's also scrumptious.
Yeah.
And at times, that show literally had food porn.
Yeah, it was almost literally food porn. And I was totally okay with it. Food Wars is totally awesome. It's a great shonen manga. Like, now, hey, you know, Shonen Jump. If you like Shonen Jump mangas, and maybe you're an older teen, I really wouldn't recommend it for younger audiences, per se. But
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, so that would be for. I actually forgot a couple others. Some other honorary mentions have to go to, like, Prison School, because Prison School is awesome. And yeah. that show was just really utterly hilarious. Like, I could not stop laughing every time I watched that show.
Comparably to, like, Ren and Stimpy, how hilariously gross it was.
It's so true.
Come on, he poops himself in class. How can you not laugh at that?
He actually, like, he shoves the microphone into his butt and then, like, poops his pants. Like,
oh, my God.
The secondhand embarrassment off of that is just out of this, off the charts. I think that works for me.
No, that does sound like a very Andrew list. So, Louie, what about you for your top five pick?
Oh, the top five. Well, let's see here. I'm going to give number five to Sephiroth of the End. I thought it was really good. It was definitely a new take that I haven't seen in a while in an anime. You know, it basically takes place where in like this post-apocalyptic Earth where it's like the humans versus an army of vampires, and then it has demons, and it just brought a bunch of like my likes all into one anime. You know, it kind of reminded me of like a kind of like a Bleach meets Inuyasha kind of esque anime, which is kind of cool. Yeah, I'm gonna give number four to Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon?
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Absolutely. I loved everything about that. I mean, I'm a big fan of the whole MMO type anime that are out there. And this was also a very fresh take on that. I mean, where, you know, like in order for him to level up, his actual stats are like on his body. Like that's completely different. So that was kind of cool. Let's see. I'm going to go ahead and give One Punch Man the 3 slot, but we're not going
to
talk about that.
Well, you've been talking it up. I was expecting to be number one.
No, I know. I mean, I already said that it was a one that really caught me by surprise, but I feel like that's going to be everyone else's favorite. So, let's see here. And I want to give the number 2 slot to Assassination Classroom.
Uh-huh.
I have had such an amazing time with this anime. I've been laughing scared at some points. I'm like, oh my god, are they going to kill the main protagonist or something? Not to give too much away, but it's such a combination of everything that I like in an anime. It's pretty good.
I had such a hard time like trying to choose between Himoto Maru-chan and Assassination Classroom for my number 5 spot. But yes, Assassination Classroom was such a good show, and I'm really enjoying the second season right now too.
I actually just started it, but yeah, I kind of almost don't want it to end, but I feel like it's going to have like that 4-year run, you know, kind of like a high school thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So let's see. All right. And then let's see here. I'm going to give the number 1 slot to Overlord.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's probably, yeah. I know people like that show, but that's the first time I've heard somebody give it to the number 1 spot.
Mm. Yeah. That is.
Wow.
It is a good show, though. I will admit, it's a very good show.
Surprisingly.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting much out of it.
I was extremely surprised as well. I mean, like the main character himself, you know, he doesn't look like your like average, you know, hero like main character with cool hair and stuff like that. Like he's a villain. He's literally a dungeon lord, you know, part of this massive MMORPG that's online, and I just thought that was a really, really cool take, where it's kind of like the main protagonists are now like the bad guys, and you know, like we're all rooting for them, kind of like the Suicide Squad in a way, you know. So
I never thought of that.
Yeah, so I really, really loved Overlord, and it reminded me of Sword Art Online as well. So that's kind of why I'm giving it the number 1 slot. Although you never see the character actually log in, because he stays logged in, you know, for the remainder of the entire series. But yeah.
No,
I'm gonna give that a spot.
That is a great show. All great lists all around. These are all shows that I too will recommend people check out if they haven't yet.
Yeah, now, you know, I think this is probably the reason why I hate doing top 5 lists the most, because they're so frustrating for me. I think I may have to like painfully replace my Ushio and Tora pick with Danmachi, because everybody, you know, after thinking about it, like Danmachi really was just one of those, like, we even like recommended it to a lot of our viewers on our show, and then everybody started watching it.
Yeah, but even still, it didn't make my top 5 list.
I don't know, but I think it makes mine. I think it makes my top. Oh yeah, and the opening theme song that I forgot to mention before, and I'm actually shamefully we did not put it on our episode, was the Gangsta opening theme song.
No, that was a sexy theme song.
That was the theme song that I had to watch every single time I watched it, and that should have been my nomination for our pick.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Jonathan, did you go? I couldn't remember.
No, I had not gone.
Yes, that's what I realized. Oh, shit, I forgot. Jonathan hasn't gone yet.
Yeah, mine's not much different than anybody else's, so I'll go quick. However, I will say that my number 5 is something that people have not said yet, and it's a movie. Now, what could it be? It was probably one of the greatest things that I had seen all year round that even beat out the series that I'd watched for at least 13 weeks. I would have watched that movie again as soon as it ended and started up again. Boruto, the Naruto movie.
Yep. Yes!
That takes my number 5 spot. It is so good. The Boruto movie was so good that it had to go onto my list. For me, it beat out Prison School. It beat out Danmachi for my number 5 list. Number 4, I put Haikyuu. I put Haikyuu Season 2 for my number 4, because that is just, I cannot talk good enough stuff about a sports anime. Number 3, I put Gangsta. Great opening theme song. Only subpar animation at times. Otherwise, it was great.
Well, because the studio was failing.
Yeah, the studio was running out of money. But you know, at the time, they still held it together. And
Jonathan, I have to lend you my manga. You have to read Gangsta.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. Number 2, I put in One Punch Man. One Punch Man was most certainly one of the greatest things I've seen. It was funny and just all around good time. And number 1, Food Wars. I agree with Andrew fullheartedly. We agree with this definitely, that Food Wars was most certainly the greatest thing that I have ever seen. I cannot wait for season 2.
Same here. I cannot wait for that second season to begin. All right. So before our next musical break, a special category that I had thought up of, the best live action anime emulation. This is for nominating either a TV show or a movie that emulated a style greatly that that is more akin to the anime realm, be it action, drama, or even comedy. And I'm curious, did any of you guys see anything in 2015 that had that anime style to it?
Evan, I gotta say, you should go first for this, just so I can kind of get an idea in my head as to maybe it'll spike something. It's like, oh, I did see that. I want to talk about it.
All right, so odds are this wasn't something that you guys saw, or you might have. I won't know. But it was a series, it's currently going through its second season right now on FXX, called Man Seeking Woman. And it's a live-action comedy with the spirit of an anime comedy series. I mean, there's an episode where the main character, Josh, he's trying to think of, like, sending a text to a girl, but it requires a whole war room-like setting with top military advisors trying to figure out how to send that perfect text to the girl that he likes. And then couple of the characters attend a wedding that's literally being held in hell, and then the main character's ex is dating Hitler, which makes it seem like that the ex is worse than Hitler.
Yeah, oh, wow. I like that. That is a pretty clear illustration of what we're going for.
Plus, the best part, it was the only series on TV with an actual Japanese penis monster.
What?
Sonica! I'm not kidding you. There's an episode with a Japanese penis monster on it. And all he says is his name, like a Pokemon. He just goes, Sonica, 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 Sonica.
Oh, jeez. Wow. That makes it really tough. I mean, there were a lot of shows this season, or this year, that attributed to anime that I can imagine. Like, there were tributes to anime in things like Gravity Falls a lot. As the show is wrapping up this year, we're in Weird Mageddon right now, and then that's going to be the finale of the show. And there was a really cool anime segment where Dipper and Mabel, who does he like?
Wendy.
I almost said Debbie for some reason, but yeah, where Dipper and Wendy go through like this time, or this alternate dimension mirror, and they turn into anime characters.
Oh, I haven't seen that episode yet.
What are you talking about? It's the first episode of Weird Mageddon.
It is?
Yeah.
Huh.
And then there was We Bear Bears, which Panda in the show dons Dakimakura in the show.
Does he?
Yeah, there were just like,
I'm really not, I really can't tell if I like that show or not.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty sure Teen Titans Go had something in it at one time. I think that would be my shout out. Like, I can't find anything in particular that I could say this reminded me of anime, but there were so many shout outs in 2015 that shows had tributes to anime in it. Because, I mean, heck, it's such an important part nowadays. You know, it's an important cultural aspect because it's become over to America so, you know, so much, so potent. I don't know the words to say to use it, but it's in our media now. Like, it's full-fledged, integrated into our media.
Completely integrated.
It's in our pop culture bloodstream.
It really is.
All right, how about you, Louie?
I would definitely have to say that there are a lot of shows that had, like, you know, a couple attributes here and there. But I would say Badlands. Did you guys have a chance to see that?
Oh, Into the Badlands?
I know what it is. Yeah, yes. I know what it is, yeah.
So you know, pretty much after Walking Dead, Badlands would come on. I kind of gave it a chance, especially, you know, on the first episode. And, you know, I just kept watching it after that. But there were a lot of you know, like shonen moments, and the main character Sunny, he has an apprentice now who sort of has like a demonic ability side to him, where, you know, if he gets hurt or something, he goes into like this, like, you know, kind of like Naruto, like a Nine Tails mode kind of thing, and he just gets really, really overpowered, and he could kind of beat anyone there. So I would say that's probably the only show that I've seen this year that kind of attributes to anime.
All right, that's a good pick. And finally?
No, I got nothing.
You got hey, what about All right. So, all in all, some fantastic choices. Now, we're going to take another quick break. But when we come back, we're going to get the X-Lax ready because we're going to be shitting on some really horrible anime series. So, right now, here is the end theme to Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in the Dungeon? Performed by Kono Wakashima. This is Bright Light Rise.
Bye.
sounds of that lovable hamster girl, that was Ami Tanaka with Kako Shinteki Metamorphose, the opening theme to Himoto Amaro-chan, and maybe number five of my top anime of 2015, but there's a good chance that it might land on one of these people's worst lists of the year, considering what they were telling me.
The John Cena version was better.
Yeah, that was a good John Cena
version. No, have you watched the Obama version?
No.
There's a version where they actually edit it so it sounds like President Obama singing the song. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So yes, now it's time to crap on the worst. The worst anime of 2015. Now before we get to the absolute, undeniable worst of the year, let's talk about what disappointed us in 2015. And if you don't mind me going first on this one, nothing disappointed me more than the film When Marnie Was There.
This is true.
Yeah.
We all went to go see that together.
Yes. Oh. One of the lowest points on Studio Ghibli's resume. Well, you know, I'll give it credit. It looked good visually, but everything else, characters were kind of a drag. The story was a little bit blah blah, and because we watched it at the English dub, it was meh at best, with John C. Reilly being the only saving grace of it all. And in my honest opinion, if John C. Reilly had played all the characters in the movie, it would have been a better film.
All the characters were so stiff.
They really forgot how to emote their characters in animation. I think that's one of the best things you can do in an animation. You know, it's really not that difficult. You just give them the expression that you want them to have. You know, but they really did not do that.
And the more surprising thing now is that it's in
the
nominated
for an Oscar. Why?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
because they have to obligatorily nominate it because it's the studio's last film. So
you chose this over the Peanuts movie. How? Why?
If they were going to pick a foreign film to be in there, they should have won with The Boy and the Beast.
Mm. I know, I agree. Even though we haven't seen it yet, it comes out here March 4th officially.
It's going to be better.
Yes, it's going to be better. Not to mention, when we went and saw this movie, before the film even started, we were bombarded with the most depressing movie trailers imaginable.
Oh, yeah, which one was this?
This was from When Marnie Was There. It was like, everything was cancer. Literally everything was.
They had the Bat Kid trailer.
Yes.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
No, the one that really still sticks with me was that one Irish film, which was like Footloose in 1930s. It was like, hey, we're a happy Protestant family, and we sure love dancing. We're the Catholic Church, and we do not like dancing. Therefore, it's evil, and no one must do it. And that was basically the movie.
Yeah.
So, Jonathan, what disappointed you this year?
What disappointed me? Regardless of whether or not I actually watch the whole series, this is not the worst anime. I'm saving my list of the worst anime from when we actually legitimately talk about the worst anime. But this show, I actually legitimately liked. However, I was disappointed with the execution of it. I'm going to say that probably my most disappointing anime that I watched this season was the Punchline. Don't get me wrong. I loved Punchline. The animation was fantastic. The characters were intriguing, yet a little confusing. But it just didn't pull together in a culminating story that was satisfying in the end. I would still recommend people to watch it. However, it still severely disappointed me altogether.
I thought it really started off slowly for me, and it really didn't really kick off until like the sixth episode.
Yeah, right, when he gets his body back, right?
Yeah, right, exactly at that point. We realized, so this is why everything's happening.
Yeah, it almost seems like that should have been the third episode that happened. You know, like they should have done all that ghost stuff, and they should have gotten over so quickly that. But it kind of pulled itself back together in the end, I think.
but because, like I said, I would still recommend it, but it's undeniably disappointing how I wanted the show to turn out, and it didn't turn out that way.
No, I kind of agree with you. Although I did rate it very, I wouldn't say very highly. I think I gave it like an 8 out of 10 on our website back before we started doing the star ratings. But yeah, it does really do things a little bit slowly.
Yeah, and, I wouldn't even go that high as 8 out of 10. I'd probably give it like a maybe 6 or 7.
Oh, yeah. But fair enough. All right, how about you, Louie?
Most disappointing anime. So my response is going to be pretty short because I didn't have enough time to be disappointed. But I was disappointed one time, and I definitely have an anime to say that it's my worst. But most disappointing for me is probably Pokemon X, Y, and Z.
Really?
Wow.
I'm just tired of Ash not growing up. I don't know about you guys. I'm literally waiting for this guy to be, I don't know, in his teens, close to being a Pokemon master, and to stop lying to us and saying he's 12.
It's true. I actually, in my mind, thought that at this point in the series, Ash was like legitimately aged to like 15 years old. I actually thought that back in the when he was traveling around Dawn in the Diamond or Pearl series, but they were like, no, he's the same age as Dawn. It's like, but Dawn is like 10. It's like, yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's 10. It's like, no, he's been doing this for years, guys.
Yeah, you have no idea how long he's been doing this for.
Ash should be like nearly 30 right now. Because the show started airing here in 1998. He was 10 there. So he'd be 28 years old right now.
Yeah, right. No, I legitimately thought when watching Diamond and Pearl, he was like 15 years old, but yeah, no, that just wasn't the case. So yeah, that is super true. Even though I did really like what I saw from the X and Y series, because that's actually one of my favorite generations of Pokemon now.
Oh yeah, no, it's definitely my favorite gen as well. But it's just a whole like rinse and repeat cycle where he has this whole set of great Pokemon that he trains, and then he's like, oh hey, here Professor Oak, why don't you hold on to these guys while I go train a whole set of new ones, because I don't know, they just don't work for me. They just don't work for me for this region.
Yeah.
It's so true.
You know, that's just another one of those shows that's still kind of milking it. And you can tell that they're reusing storylines over and over and over again. I just out of random, like, turned on an episode of Pokemon the other day. It was a newer episode, and it had Ash dressed as a girl. And I'm like, wait, is this like a remake of the Gloom and Vileplume episode?
Oh, that's great. Yeah, right? Yeah. Oh my god, I forgot about that.
I personally never forgave Ash for when he used a Pokedex on a Butterfree for the second time.
Yeah, for the second time.
You owned a Butterfree, Ash.
He owned a Butterfree, trained it, and then gave it away to release it back into the wild. It broke my heart as a child. I cried because Butterfree is my favorite.
Yeah.
And it is my favorite Pokemon. And then he goes and he's like, oh, what's that Pokemon over there? I don't know what you're supposed to for.
It's a Butterfree, Ash. You had one.
Oh, my God.
No forgiveness.
Maybe those are like suppressed memories that he never wants to remember.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I can imagine it being his Butterfree, too. It like comes up and is like, hey, Ash, what's up? What's been so long? What are you? And then he flips and he throws the Pokedex in his face.
So funny. What are you? This is a new region. I'm not supposed to know you.
Yeah. We don't know each other. Shh.
Know, we always restart when I visit Professor Oak. What if Professor Oak like erases his entire memory every time he goes back there?
Yeah. Oh my god. There's like so many creepypastas out there that I'm pretty sure there's something like that.
So Ash really is older, but he only thinks he's 10 because every time Professor Oak erases his memory, he's like, you're 10 years old again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's where the coma theory comes into play too. Why he's still 10 years old. You know, that episode one, when he falls off the bike, he's in a coma and like the whole show is just in Ash's coma.
I love creepypasta.
Yeah.
Cause it's very, it sounds a lot like the hypothesis of Adventure Time too. A lot of people think that Ben is in a coma and like Jake is like his father, like trying to talk to him within the coma.
Huh.
That's depressing.
Wow. That is pretty depressing.
See, the thing is, though, is you have to be careful when talking about Adventure Time like that, because it could be true and that could be just potential spoilers.
That too.
Exactly true, yeah.
All right, Andrew, what about you? What disappointed you?
That we're gravely off topic.
Yeah. As far as, like, disappointment goes, I don't think I let myself get disappointed this season. I do have shows that I thought were the worst. But to say a show disappointed me...
Well, you can say even the same fact as me, that I liked my show that I was disappointed by.
Yeah. I mean, like, I could say that for Gangsta, because, I mean, and Gangsta got my number two spot, but, like, the ending was just crap.
Yeah.
That's very true.
But that's not, like, Gangsta's fault. That's the studio's fault, being like, well, we're out of money. Yeah. See you later.
Bye-bye. Never see us again.
Poor.
Yeah. So, who knows?
Then again, every animation studio is poor.
Yeah, let's not go into that one.
That's a topic for a whole another time.
I don't know, like, disappointing, like, Hackadolls was disappointing, but I mean, I knew it was just cheesecake. So like, I really can't say it was disappointing because I knew going in what it was. Nah, I can't really say anything. I'm not really disappointed by anything that I watched.
All right, in that case, should we move to the absolute worst of the year?
I can talk about this for sure.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah. So in that case, Andrew, go ahead. What was the worst thing you saw?
Now, the thing is, Evan, I know you're expecting me to say Himoto, but it's not going to be Himoto.
Right.
Because, and I actually did talk about this on our episode. It was Isuka. Isuka was utter anime trash. It came out in the winter, like right at the beginning of the year. It was one of the first animes that showed up. Last year, it was an anime that I had read some of the chapters of the manga to, so I was like, oh, this is gonna be cool, because I knew going in that, again, it was gonna be cheesecakey, you know, boobage and stuff like that. But then it was just like, oh, guess what, ARMS is doing this animation, so I was like, oh, great. And for everybody who doesn't know, I have a vendetta with ARMS, because all they do is they used to make great anime, but now they only make trash. Like, if you need a trash anime done really cheaply with no good animations or any kind of consistency at all, hire ARMS. Which is stupid because, you know, they worked on things like Full Metal Alchemist, Elfin Lied, Sword of the Stranger, like really high quality stuff.
Yep.
But now they're releasing stuff like Isuka, Ikitosen, Queen's Blade, which ironically I like Ikitosen. So
no, Ikitosen is a guilty pleasure. It's like one of the better guilty pleasures.
Yeah, it is. But anyway, so yeah, Isuka was just utter trash. Like, the story, the animation was just so bad that it was distracting. The boobage that they did in the show was just annoying. And again, I knew this going in because I read the manga, so I knew what I was getting into. But still, I mean, I tried to watch it and I just couldn't. Another thing that was really bad was Bikini Warriors. That was definitely one of the worst animes of the season.
But we all knew that.
All knew it's gonna be bad.
But yeah, I walked into watching Bikini Warriors being like, I know what this is. Like, you know, and like, I knew that I was gonna go in and be like, this is stupid. I really wanted to go in to see my favorite character, and of course, she wasn't even part of the main cast. For those of you who don't know, Bikini Warriors is a set of models, you know, PVC figurines. That's what it is. It's a show based off of a series of PVC figurines that came out in Japan. And they made like six of them, but only four of them are characters in the show. The other two show up later in the show for one episode, and every episode was 3 minutes long. So like, my favorite character shows up, and I'm like, there she is, and what do you know? She's a really cool character. Bye-bye. Isuka and Bikini Warriors is the definition of why otakus are anime trash. Because people think all of our shows are like that.
Yeah. And I feel like that's where I have to talk about my pick for the worst of 2015, which was The Testament of Sister New Devil. This was one of those shows where you watch and you're like, you know, I have a strange feeling that this was supposed to be a hentai. But somewhere along the lines, one guy managed to get this a TV deal. And so they had to butcher it and cut everything out and use the magical rays of light and magical darkness to cover everything up. And that was the test of the Sister New Devil in a nutshell. Now, it did have that somewhat interesting premise of, like, winds up that the guy who winds up being with the two girls who are, like, now his stepsisters, he winds up actually being strong instead of a weakling like in most harem series. But just everything about this series was just wrong.
Yeah, I couldn't even stand one episode of it. I only watched it for one episode and then I dropped it. It was just awful.
Yeah,
awful garbage.
I haven't even seen it yet. But everybody talks about how it should have just been a hentai.
Yeah. All right, son, these are your two new stepsisters. I gotta go off and do my job. You're not gonna see me for the rest of this series. Have fun and take care of them. And don't put your ding-dong in either of them.
Yeah, that is literally the start of hentai. Like a hentai. I think it was... I mean... It's literally, like, they've done that before in hentai.
Yes. I mean, like, when the characters form a pact, they have to be submitted, which leads towards, like, just, like, there's this, like, one part. This was, like, the moment where I had to stop watching the show, when the main girl had to be submitted, it involved her rubbing honey on her boobs and then proceeding to rub her body on the guy character. That's...
For whatever reason.
And the stepsister has a video camera and she's recording. I'm like, this is hentai. This is just a full-blown hentai. This should not even be airing on TV. This is just bad. Yeah. And the worst part of this whole thing, the worst part of the Testament of Sister New Devil is the fact...
It's worse?
Yes.
Yeah, there's more.
Despite the near universal hatred it got... It received a second season 6 months after the first one aired.
Sex sells, man.
Let me give you a list. I have a list here. Let me read this off to you. Barakamon. No Game, No Life. Princess Jellyfish. Panty and Stocking with Garter Belt. Outbreak Company. Desert Punk. Soul Eater. Oron High School Host Club. The Kaku City Actors. My Bride is a Mermaid. Kamen no Maid Guy. Nagasarate Islando. The Troubled Life of Miss Kutora. Gugune Kokone-san. You mean to tell me that none of these well-deserving series couldn't get a second season, but this trash did?
Yeah, you didn't. There was one. Nozaki-kun didn't get his ass.
No, Nozaki-kun. Yes, that's also that should have been on the list too. Although, cross my fingers that it does get a second season. But how does this get a second season 6 months after the first one aired, despite the fact that it was panned by just about everybody who watched it?
Yeah, it's so true.
It's going to be hard to follow up on that one.
Maybe I should have gone last.
Mine's not even close to that.
Yeah. Okay. What about you, Louie?
All right. So this was a little controversial. And I say that because I'm a huge fan of the series, but I did not appreciate, I don't think, anything that they have done thus far. I'm going to go ahead and say it's Dragon Ball Super.
We've actually heard feedback about this ourselves.
Yes. One of our fans constantly emails us and gives us the update. He gives us like a monthly update on what Super is actually doing at the moment. He is our correspondent for that show. So go ahead. Yeah.
So the main guy, you know, he basically announces, you know, hey, you know, we're gonna release another Dragon Ball series, which is Kira, and everyone's so excited. I'm excited. You know, I've been following Dragon Ball Z since, I don't know, I was 11 or something. And then we actually get the anime, and it's not at all what I expected. It's literally both of the movies that they release broken down into essentially two full seasons of fillers, because we already seen this. So why would you get us pumped up for fillers? Like, why would you do that? You know,
it's like a reverse Team Four Star.
And the animation as well, like, I was, I forget what article I was reading. I think it was either IGN or Kotaku or someone posted basically like a comparison of how the anime looked in the 90s compared to how it looked now. A lot of the fight scenes are just done very, very sloppy. Like,
yeah, they're rushed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very rushed. And I don't understand that, because if they were giving us fillers to begin with, so the manga could catch up and reach to a certain point where the anime is still behind, then you should have taken your time completely, like, drawing out, like, these fighting scenes. Like, I think I paused one time during the episode where Goku was fighting Beerus, and I think Goku looked like Satima from One Punch Man when he's got, like, his plain face. I just was not impressed. Completely not impressed with Dragon Ball Super. So for me, it has been the worst anime and also very disappointing for the year.
That is a really good choice, man.
Thank you.
Alright, Jonathan, you're up.
Yeah. Bat. I do have a couple, and like Bikini Warriors and all that stuff was on there. I had one, Trinity Seven. I watched the whole series of that one. That one was just super, like, super. It was anime the anime, and the only thing that was redeeming for it, which didn't make my worst list, was because this was also a harem character that you didn't expect. You know, he was put in awkward situations where, like, he woke up next to a naked girl in his bed, and a girl comes in and, like, sees him, and she freaks out, and he goes, "Oh, I have an idea. You jump in with me." And you know, so like that had some redeeming qualities, although the overall thing was pretty garbage.
Yeah, anime trash. Yeah.
I didn't like Shimaneta at all, despite popular demand. No, Shimaneta was not good. I watched one episode and I was like, I was done with it. Anime to Training X was this weird limbo, which was like, what are we watching?
That was like anime limbo, where you're just like, I don't know what to do now.
Yeah. But I think the one that tops off my list has got to be Triage X. Triage X was an anime that was done by the same person who did High School of the Dead. Anybody who listens to me and Andrew talk about anime for 5 minutes know that High School of the Dead, the anime, is complete and utter garbage, and it does not redeem itself
from the manga, or
even with Triage X. Like, absolutely not. It was just so poorly done that it was another boob anime, because, I mean, you know the artist from there. He likes, like, triple F cup, you know, girls in his show. And triple
F. And possibly big boobs.
Yeah, for some reason.
Yeah, and then there was so much going on in it that was so sexual that they had to censor so much stuff out, even to the point where some story moments that were important to you understanding the characters were censored, because it was like, oh, there's nudity in the scene and there's something going on behind that censor bar, but I don't know what it is. So, yeah. You know, it's like, it's like, how am I supposed to follow this story if you can't even show me what's going on? The characters were so convoluted and uninteresting. They tried to make these, like, Dick Tracy style characters that had these really special techniques and qualities to them that just, I did not care. It was just so much not caring that I just ended up dropping the whole thing and just put it far behind me. Triage X. What else is there to say?
And that, like, the manga, they are really, really far in the volumes of the manga, like, that they sell in the bookstore.
I will not buy them. I will not buy them. I don't even care about the fan service. Like, even if it's uncensored in the book, I will not buy it. Because it's just like, it's not worth it. It is not worth it. Ever.
All right. So, wow. Yep. I think that felt pretty good. That felt really good to get all of that off of our chest.
Yeah.
So when we come back, one final segment where we talk a little bit about a show that is so far getting our attention in 2016. So coming up, we've got Union Square Garden with an ending to Blood Blockade Battlefront. Another dance-worthy track. This is Sugar Song to Bit a Step.
Rumbling, cause た揺さぶられながら見失えないものはなんだ共同世界意識の概念に飲まれて心までがまるで得たセトラ大嫌い大好きちゃんと喋らなきゃ人形とさして変わらないし行く人だけには嬉しそうだったり寂しそうだったりコントラストが五線譜を飛び回り歌とリズムになるままでと一緒だそうみんなさんのギターズで甘くて苦くて目が回りそうです七千を目指してパーティーを続けよう世界中を驚かせてしまう夜になるリフレクト改善成功意識の制度に生まれて僕らの音楽は道具になり下がるこっちを向いてよ背を向けないでよそれは正義論にならないけどああ祭り派が死のその後で高ぶったままの人泣き出してしまう人でも言葉にしようものなら稚拙が極まれに最高だって主がそう幸せ手に出せて死ねない理由を外に映し出せ欲しかったって土足で明日は来ちゃうけど脳内天気予報のアップデートを果たして
see if I can't butcher this one. That was Sora Amamiya, Ari Ozawa, Natsuki Aikawa, Mayuka Nomura, Haruka Yamazaki, and Sakura Nakamura with Saikosoko Fall in Love, the opening theme to Monster Musume, Everyday Life with Monster Girls.
You did it.
Yes, I did it. I did not butcher any of those names.
I really love that opening. That was such a good... I really like any theme song that takes the cast from the show itself and have them sing stuff.
Yeah, me too.
Same here. Now, rumors are that there are that there's going to be a second season due to an Easter egg making that announcement in the final episode.
Oh,
and
yeah, that's
really
right.
Really hoping it happens. All right. Now, before we go, let's talk about what's looking good for anime in 2016 so far. What's
everything.
Getting your... Yes!
Everything.
Like, I'm watching, like... Hold on, let me pull up my list right now. I am watching 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 shows so far this winter season alone. And I have not been disappointed by any of these. Even like the short 2 to 3 minute episodes.
Yeah.
Or the 2-3 minute episode shows, I meant to say. But Andrew, what's a show that's really getting your attention so far this year?
So far, okay... Probably my favorite show that I'm watching right now is Erased, easily.
Oh, Mike.
I actually have a Wicked Fast episode written up. Like, I have the script written. It's ready to go. So there's probably going to be a Wicked Fast review of that, of the first three episodes coming out pretty shortly. Because that show is so much everything that I love about story writing and mystery and... mixed in with, like, you know, characters that are engaging. It's beautiful. Oh,
no, so I totally agree with you. And I feel like this is like a type of show where you could only really get it right in an anime format. Like, I don't think you could do this in a live action way and make it as good because of the way of the characters acting of it, especially with the main character when he goes back in time to 1988, because his brain isn't his 6-year-old or 7-year-old self anymore. It's still his 29-year-old self that he's thinking mentally.
Yeah, and don't we all wish we could do that? Yes. Yeah. He in the show, he is doing exactly what I would love to do every single day of my life. Yeah, and it's cool because, like, they can make with the animation. They can actually make the characters more sympathetic because of the way that they design the characters and because of the voice acting. You can actually make... This is just a fact of character design and animation from the industry standard. You can make somebody more sympathetic by the way they look and by the way they act. And it's really hard to do that sometimes with live action. So I agree. So Erased. Erased is my choice for, like, this right now. That is what I'm watching. 2016 is my projection of, wow, this is going to be a good year of anime.
Mm. No, I totally agree. What about you, Jonathan?
Okay, because Andrew said Erased, I will say another one that I am also actually writing a review for currently, which is Myriad Colors Phantom World. Mm-hmm. It's done by Kyoto Animation,
yep.
Which is like one of the top studios right now, especially for certain aspects of fan service and everything like that. But I'm currently writing the episode based on good shows that have fan service in them. You know, fan service shows that can still be good. And this is one of them. I find the characters very endearing. I find that they are all unique in some sort of way, that some unique way that we've never seen before. In the way that, you know, it's a show that there was a virus that made everybody be able to see phantoms or yokai, and things that were thought to be mythical beings are actually true, and they're all walking around the earth now as if they were regular animals. It's just a fun and entertaining show. I was hooked by episode one. I was really charmed by it. The characters are great. There's some great best girls in it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, I know where you're coming from. I've actually I don't like the show as much as Jonathan does.
Yeah, I even find the main male lead very good.
Yeah, but I do keep up with the show every time an episode comes out because it's entertaining. So I do agree with the sentiment that, hey, there's fan service in this show, but it's not overbearing to the point where it's like, oh, this is a fan service show.
Yeah. Even though boobs really can't do that when you're trying to do a limbo.
Well, yeah, the thing of it
well,
is...
Well, if you're though, not wearing a bra.
Yeah. The thing of it is that when the fan service like that comes up, you know, they made that a kind of a part of her feature, but they still kind of made it a part of the story to the point where... But I don't know. I mean, not even to that point, as much as the way that she reacted. Like, I was like, okay, this is a little ridiculous when that started to happen. She was starting to bounce her boobs so she could get it under the limbo bar, you know? It was like, okay, fine, whatever. That's really fan service-y. But it was the way that she reacted afterwards that kind of made it okay for me, because it was a very realistic reaction where she was like... She was embarrassed that she did it, but she also realized that she did it in order for the betterment of the whole team, sort of thing. It was this really weird, you know, conflicting emotion for me. It was like, is this okay? I guess I'll let it pass. I don't know.
What about you, Louie? Is there something that you're watching that just started airing that's really getting your attention?
I pretty much just continued watching Assassination Classroom. And that's the only thing that I've really been giving attention to this year so far. Aside from hoping that Dragon Ball Super comes with some blessings this year. But that's pretty much the only thing that I've been watching. Hoping that they really, really talk more about Koro Sensei's background and what exactly is he and how does that correlate with the students in the classroom and everything. So yeah, that's pretty much from my end.
I mean, you can tell how good a story is by the somewhat sort of antagonist that Kuro Sensei is. You know that you want the students to succeed in killing him, because if he doesn't, if they don't kill him, he's going to blow up the earth. But yet Kuro Sensei is so well written and so likable that you kind of don't want him to die. It makes you feel like that you're on two different sides, and you're trying to figure out which is the better thing. Oh, Earth is going to blow up, but he's such a good teacher!
I know, right? He's so good.
So, for my pick, and I'll admit, it's not the best-looking anime that's on right now, but it's from the same person. It's from Masamune Shirow, who created Ghost in the Shell. And it's basically... somewhat of a parody satire of that series, and it's called Pandora in the Crimson Shell Ghost Urn. And it takes the concept of the cyborg girls and it turns it more into a comedy rather than an action drama. And it's very goofy, and it's kind of got that sort of style of comedy that we would have seen earlier in, like, the beginning of this century. Like, it feels like this should have aired like in either 2000, 2001, alongside like Azumanga Daioh or Love Hina or something. But no, it's airing right now, and maybe it's the nostalgic feel the show gives off. But I like it. It's. I find it very funny. I find it very enjoyable, and not to mention, I love the look. So one of the characters, Nene, can't stop like giving a hug to one of the other characters, Clarion, because she's a cyborg cat girl. And I'm not going to name names, but I know someone here loves their cat girls.
It's Andrew.
You know what, Evan? Now that you mention it, I was like, I think I've seen this show before. I did. I watched the first episode. I'm sorry. I know you suggested it to me, and I was like, yeah, I've seen the first episode of this.
Yes. But I like the look that she gives Nene every time. It's like, get off me. Every time she gets hugged, get off me. Please, get off me. Please don't touch me. And I just like this show so far. I think, I don't know if it's going to be a good show by the time the series ends, but so far, I'm finding it pretty funny. And I'm finding it very entertaining. And I think that's what matters most. If it entertains, it's got to be worth watching.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. So, That does it for the best and worst of 2015 in anime. Andrew, Jonathan, Louis, thank you so much for joining me here on No Borders, No Race.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Thanks for having us.
Yes.
Thank you.
So, why don't we do a little promo stuff? And Louis, since you are new to this, please go first. Tell our listeners where they can find out more information on Nerd Crave.
Perfect. Well, number one, thanks for having me. All you guys, you know, this was an amazing experience. And for all the listeners, definitely check out www.nerdcrave.com. There you'll find anything related to video games, comics, anime, and also entertainment. And we are on Facebook as well with the username as well, Nerd Crave. So, yeah, check us out.
Very cool. Andrew and Jonathan, promote away.
All right. So if you guys want to join us on Wicked Anime, Google us. You'll find us. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. But seriously, you can Google us if you want to. You'll find us. Anyway, if you want to join us in our conversation, you can email us. Just email us over at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where you can join in our conversations. You can also find some funny news stories that we find from around the internet. Shoot us a message over there. We like hearing from everybody, all of our friends from all over the web. You can also find us at nerdyshow.com, where we have both our podcast and our videos. If you don't already listen to our podcast at soundcloud.com/wickedanime or itunes.com, that's nerdyshow.com/wickedanime. Speaking of videos, you can find our videos at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews, where we semi-frequently post videos. We do really like that portion of our show, seeing that is where Wicked Anime got its start. So Jonathan and I are picking up on our videos again. Remember, we just talked about two shows that might be coming out in the near future. Let's do that. Yeah. And of course, you can find us on the other aspects of the internet, such as twitter.com, where you can tweet at us at @YoWickedAnime. Find us at tumblr.com, where we tumble things at wickedanime.tumblr.com. And of course, you can find us at twitch.com. Not at the moment.
Twitch.tv.
Yeah. We're still building our library of Twitch games before we really kick off Wicked Anaplay. But if you want to follow, shoot us a follow. It'll email you anytime that we do start playing. So keep an eye out for that. And that should be it for Wicked Anime, guys.
All right. And as always, for our listeners, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, or if you have any questions for our friend Sawa Sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can find me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, on Twitter at king_baby_duck, and on Anime Amino at KingBabyDuckESH. Like us on Facebook.com/BostonBashBrigade and Facebook.com/Land of Esh. And for all the other sites under the Land of Esh, be sure to check out Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, Phil's Recap and Review, Smashed Rook, The Structure Network, and of course, our new buddies, Nerd Crave.
Yeah.
Yes. So, guys, thank you once again. And for our final song, even though Jonathan and probably even Andrew didn't like this particular show, even they may have to admit that its end theme was still pretty catchy. Do you guess which one it is I'm talking about?
I know what it is. You can go ahead and say it.
From Shimoneta, a boring world where the concept of dirty jokes doesn't exist. This is Sumire Uesaka with that funky track, Inner Urge. So until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
Jonathan from Wicked Anime.
Andrew from Wicked Anime.
Louis from Nerd Craze.
Reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard.
But it sure helps. It sure helps.
Maybe we should have taught Louis that before we did this segment.
probably. Maybe.
People learn by experience, so he'll know for the next time.
Yes, he'll know for the next time.
I do like that theme song, or that ending theme.
Fire, 心の叫び, 出したいように全部, 体の芯くらいっちゃいます.
This is Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and host of the No Borders, No Race podcast. What you hear each week on our show is but a mere taste of what you can expect from these talented artists from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. So if you enjoyed something from this week's selections, go to cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, or your local record store to help give these artists your support. We always give our readers and listeners the links to the albums from the respective songs we've spun. So if something resonated with you, give that album name a click and get that record in your possession. Who knows? That one album purchase may help to bring your favorite J-pop artist one step closer to your town. So until next time, keep your volume dimed out and remember to spread the Japanese music revolution wherever your roads take you.